Let's jump into our lesson today. We're going to be continuing on our study of 1 Peter, Living Hope. That's what we've called the study in 1 Peter, Living Hope. And this morning, I just want to just mention to you that the focus this morning is very simple. Alert to the real enemy. Being alert to the real enemy. Now, 1 Corinthians, Paul said to the Corinthian church that the God of this world, and this hopefully this will make more sense as we put things together, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they can't experience, they can't see the glory of our Savior. They can't see all these beautiful things that are available when we believe, when we have faith, when we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Just keep that in mind as we begin reading in 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to be looking at one verse this morning, but I want to go ahead and read the previous seven verses just to remind us and to do a quick review. Verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 5, we're reading in the New King James, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And then when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Now, our study this morning is going to focus on verse 8. Be sober or self-controlled. Be vigilant or watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, let me give you a quick overview of some of the things that we've talked about. Elders are supposed to serve and lead in such a way that creates trust for the younger ones to follow. We've talked about this at length, but it's huge. Because the way that we live, the example, the what you see, just take me, what you see in my lifestyle, in my attitude, in my priorities, should over a period of time create a level of trust so that you know that my heart is genuine on your behalf, that my motives, that I am working to keep my motives pure. Trust is a huge component of what we've been talking about the last several weeks. And it makes it very clear that we're supposed to humble ourselves before God, and at the same time, humble ourselves to one another. Submission and obedience to the ones who are looking out for our souls creates a personal freedom and a powerful living. A power for living. Now, I know that when I use the words obedience and submission in our culture, those are really scary words. But at the same time, as we learn to take these steps of faith, and as we learn to press in, and as we learn to yield to other people that have our best interests in mind, what it creates over a period of time is this incredible personal freedom and a powerful power for living that has not been available to us up to that point. We need to wear humility like a garment that is put on every day. Use the illustration a couple weeks ago. Putting on the garments, the clothing of humility each and every day. When we live like this, then we place ourselves in a position for God's exaltation and blessing. Scripture says very plainly that in due time, God is the one that's going to lift us up. God is the one that's going to exalt us. The problem that you and I have is the whole timing issue. In due time. That usually, what I've learned through the years is his time frame and my timeline are not always, you know, mine is like, his may be longer, which I don't like because I'm impatient. Mine's a little bit shorter. You know, God, I want you to do this miracle in 12 hours or less. You know, that type of thing. This process creates an opportunity for us to learn and be honest and truthful with Father God, which allows him to meet us at our most vulnerable point. And we've talked about this, but please, when you learn to cast everything that you have, to give it, to share it, to open up with Father God. And I hear people all the time, well, it's stupid to him. It's not going to matter. No, that's not true. Anything that bothers you, anything that weighs you down, anything that affects you, when you learn to give that stuff to Father God and you prove him, you're asking him to show, it's this relational thing. When you do it with him, you are making yourself vulnerable. And then when God comes and meets you at that most vulnerable time, do you understand how personal and real that is? Things that I've been embarrassed to even say to my wife or my kids at different points in my life that are a big deal to me, I'm struggling with, and I pour my heart out to God. And sometimes I feel stupid and I feel weak by sharing these things, but I pour my heart out to God. And then I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when he just comes along and touches me, helps me, opens things up, that faith relationship is so real to me because it's reinforced in my life. And that's the difference between relationship and religion. Religion is us trying to do something to merit God's favor, us trying to get to God. Relationship is about God trying to get to us and us simply responding to what he's trying to do. That's what faith is. I hope that makes sense. So as we study that, I think that it will bring us to the understanding that Peter, these qualities that Peter knows are imperative qualities, brings us to this one passage. All of these things about humility, all of these things that he's teaching, that he's saying, and this is the thing, let me remind you, this is Peter, the Apostle Peter, hard-headed, stubborn, independent. He's saying, guys, this is what I've learned. And what does he say? We need to be sober or self-controlled. And typically in the scripture, it relates to physical intoxication. That's the context. But in a metaphorical sense, it includes ordering and balancing the important issues of life. There are some very intoxicating allurements in this world, and we need discipline of mind to conquer these allurements. So Peter's saying there needs to be a level of sobriety. There needs to be a level of soberness. There needs to be a level of self-control. And then he follows it up by saying that we also need to be vigilant or watchful. And these are qualities we need to embrace because we face a fierce and relentless spiritual opposition from Satan and his demons. We cannot become indifferent to our enemy or we will become his victims. Now, I want to say that for some of you here this morning, the whole idea of devil and Satan, some of you are still struggling with that. You don't like the concept. And yet, Peter understands firsthand. Like even as we go through this, you might think back about some scripture that you've read early on when Jesus is dealing with Peter, and he actually at one point, he's being very bold and he's saying some things to Jesus and he's saying, oh Lord, we don't want you to die. We don't want you to live. We don't want you to leave. And Jesus actually looks at him and says, get behind me, Satan. I mean, that's some pretty strong words that he's saying to Peter. But Peter, he's writing from the context of understanding this assault, understanding this spiritual battle, and understanding the forces of evil. So there's this level of sober, vigilant, self-control, determination that we need to have. And think of it like this. Priorities. What are the most important priorities? And for us, we need to learn to be sober and vigilant. We need to be watchful. We need to be super aware because there's forces of evil that are at work in this world to get us off of our priorities, to get us away from this relationship with Jesus Christ. So we believe just as the apostles believed The good and evil are the result of spiritual forces warring for humanity. Whether you actually believe it or not, every single one of us in here this morning have this in common. A God who loves us and cares for us and wants to reveal himself for us, to us, on our behalf. And we have the devil and his followers, which are fallen angels, that want to thwart and destroy and bring mayhem and carnage into your life. There's opposing forces. Think about this. When Lucifer fell, when he was cast down, we believe this because of what Scripture says, that a third of the angelic host, the angels, followed him. That left two-thirds. Now, when you look at all the different things that angels are described to be doing on this planet right now, I have no idea how many angels there are. Millions? Billions? I don't have a clue. It's kind of mind-boggling. Because unlike God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Lucifer and his angels, as well as Father God and his angels, they don't share the same qualities. So they can't be everywhere at the same time. They're not omnipresent. They're not omniscient. So they have very specific tasks. So what I want to just remind you is that as we're talking about the devil this morning, he also has this whole host or army that is fighting against exactly what God wants to accomplish in this world. Creator God and the angelic army want our good. Satan and his demons want our destruction. It's just that simple, black and white. Peter urges us to be on alert, to be watchful, and to stay awake. I can't tell you how many times in my life over the last 10 years I've wanted to grab friends of mine by the shoulders and just shake them and say, wake up! Just wake up. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like just this lethargy, this like, oh, it's no big deal. What I do doesn't matter. It's not going to make any difference. Who cares what it is? And yet it does matter. And that's what Peter is trying to get our attention here and what he's trying to help us understand. Vigilance is not easy, and that is why we need one another. We need to help one another. And I understand. It's one of those things that's like, well, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I don't say it right? What if I... And we have all these fears and all these things. But can I tell you right now, there is so much evil going on around us right now. We need to encourage one another. We need to open our mouths. There's so many things that we can do to help and bless and encourage. And I don't know about you, but this church family helps me be vigilant and sober. Because as I'm fighting on your behalf, and as we're working together, it just reinforces the fact that when I'm weak, you pick me up and you don't even know it. Jesus said in the garden, our Lord said to his disciples, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Makes a very eternal statement. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You can look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Now, I want to read this section because I love the way that John MacArthur says this. And the way he structures the wording is very powerful. So in one of his commentaries, this is what John MacArthur says. That Peter identifies Satan as your adversary, the devil. Now, the pronoun your, making that designation, is a very personal one. It's not just Tim's. It's not just somebody else. But each and every one of us, it's our adversary. Satan is not only the adversary of God and his holy angels, but he is the vicious, relentless enemy of all God's people. Adversary was used as a technical term meaning legal opponent, as well as any kind of enemy that was seriously and aggressively hostile. The term rendered devil takes this opposition to the level of a malicious enemy who slanders or attacks. Three times Jesus called him the ruler of this world, which shows the formidable platform from which he launches his malevolent assaults. The devil commands the demonic realm and administrates the human fallen world system. personally and through his surrogates, the demons, who like him never stop nor rest. Satan untiringly, like a predator in the night, of his own evil darkness, hunts to kill. Who does he hunt to kill? Us. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, I can't speak for Peter. I know that he's using this imagery to make a very valid point, and he knows from experience. I don't know what Peter's experience was. I don't know because of where he lived, whether he had ever encountered a lion in the wild, in natural environment. I don't know if he came across one. I know that he was probably very aware of how the Roman government was using lions in the Colosseum. Do you remember that? He was probably very aware of the gory spectacle of lions slaughtering their victims for entertainment, and most of that population were Christ followers because they would not recant. So I know that Peter was very aware of lions. Now, I don't know how many of you, I don't know, I'm asking. I actually had two people in the last service. I was kind of blown away. But has anybody here this morning actually encountered a lion in the wild? A lion. Whoa, that's pretty good. That's awesome. I don't know about you, but one of my lion experiences was at the Cape May County Zoo. That's my big lion experience. And I was so thankful that that lion was behind a fenced-in area that was really tall. Because I don't know if you've ever been, but Cape May County Zoo is one of my favorite zoos on the East Coast. It's amazing because you get up close and personal with all the animals. You know, it's really cool. I mean, the Richmond Zoo is cool. I don't want to take anything away from that. We were there just recently. But I can just remember, and it's just crazy that I wasn't even near the lion cage. And I'm sure that when this guy belted out what he was doing, you could hear the guy in the parking lot. But I had never heard a male lion, and it was like when he started roaring and the length of time that he roared, it was so deep and guttural and powerful that it was just one of those like, and my mind immediately started thinking, what would I be like if I was out in the wild and it was just he and I and no cage? I mean, it was just like, I can't even describe how powerful the sound was. And this is an imagery, and he's doing it for a very specific reason. Now, for us, I hope that when I show you the video in just a few minutes, I just do want to give a disclaimer. We did cut part of the video off because I know how some people struggle with things. But I wanted you to get this visual because I think this, as much as anything, and there's so many different analogies that you can make out of just watching this. Well, let's just watch it and you tell me what you think.
Buffalo wound more lions than any other prey species. So, hunting this beast requires a game plan. The pride will follow an age-old strategy. Lions attack with the precision of a pro football team, with each lion playing the same position time and time again in hunts. The lions on the sides will advance up the flanks. One or two lions will run interference while the lions in the center will go for the takedown. Today's attack begins with the flanks trying to maneuver close. They will try to separate a lone buffalo from its herd. There is no margin for error. The rest of the pride keeps the loner busy. Working together to tire him out. Before he knows it, he is surrounded. The center moves in for the kill. But bringing him down requires the extra 100-pound bulk of one of the big males.
That's the male moving in. We'll stop it right there. But I hope that this is a poignant reminder of what Peter's trying to tell us this morning. This is not a fairy tale. This is our reality. And I hope that you will make personal application of just this short video, because in so many ways, like as an example, trying to separate. And I see this all the time. I've seen this for years. And honestly, let's just be straight up. I'm not perfect. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to disappoint you. Not that I'm trying to do it on purpose. But if you want to be critical and you want to find fault and you want to pick out things about this church family, we're all a bunch of sinful human beings trying to learn how to walk the path of God. If you're trying to find something to be critical of, and then what happens, I see, is that separation that begins to take place. And then before you know it, you've been separated and you're out on your own. And so many times I've seen destruction and devastation take place. And that's why it's so important for us to just work through our stuff and be honest with each other. But we have to press in, because there is safety and protection when we are learning to love one another and yield to one another and help one another. There's so many things. And Jacqueline said to me after the first service, she said, "Dad, you know what was really scary to me about watching a video? Is those lions knew and were watching for weakness, separation. They knew their prey." And so it is with us. So what I want to just mention to you as we wrap things up this morning, watching the reality of a lion's natural approach to the hunt should be a very sobering consideration regarding Peter's analogy of the devil and his forces. I realize that there are some that don't want to face the reality of such a formidable spiritual opponent, but I'm just going to say to you, it's the reality of life. It is what it is. But this is the thing that has helped me so much about these passages. When we become aware and then begin to take things seriously in our faith, we begin to press into all that God has available to us through the Holy Spirit. I bring you back to the difference between relationship and religion. That when we realize this battle that we're in with a formidable adversary, the devil, what it does for me is it causes me to press into my relationship with God, and for me to begin to press in the scriptures, in prayer, and for me to say, "God, I need you. I need your help. I need your wisdom." And there are so many things, qualities. There's so much power that is available to us through the Holy Spirit that we never tap into because we're constantly trying to do it on our own. When we're trying to do it on our own, that's religion. That's somehow that we're going to merit, or we're going to earn something, or we're going to be able to accomplish this. And this spiritual walk that we're on, God has already done it for us through Jesus Christ, and he's given us the Holy Spirit when we believe, and we need to press in and learn how to let the Spirit have full control over our lives. That's what it does for me. And I want to close with verse 9, the first part of verse 9, because I can't. What does he say? Peter says, with all that analogy, resist him steadfast in the faith. Being sober, being vigilant, having self-control, learning to press in and be consistent. This is what Peter says. Resist him. I've given you an illustration of a powerful foe that does not have power over you because of God. He is a defeated one. Now, he's able to rule and reign right now until things are drawn to a close, but he is not more powerful than you. So with this verse, I close. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. I'm not trying to magnify or exalt the devil this morning. I'm trying to talk to us honestly about the reality of what Peter learned and he's trying to pass on to us. That he is real and he wants to destroy and bring mayhem and carnage in our lives. But greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And he says resisting. You got to put effort for it. You got to be engaged, but resist him. And I love that phrase. What does he say? Steadfast in the faith. Not willy-nilly, not once a month, not once every quarter, but you personally being steadfast, being consistent in your faith. We believe that Jesus came and lived and died and rose again for our forgiveness, for our redemption, for us to be changed from the inside out. And that is a personal choice. And if you have not made that choice, I'm just telling you, the song that we sang earlier, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I have tasted. Most of us here this morning have tasted. And I want to encourage you to continue to press in and taste and resist the evil one. And let's be focused on the gospel, and let's be focused on making disciples, and let's not be distracted by all the crazy allurements in this world. Let's glorify him together. Let's stand and sing this morning.